So, first thing is that we're going to solve this problem. Saide, should solve it? But what are you going to do if I solve your problem and you don't have what to say anymore? So I want to solve this problem, or at least try to solve it.
Which problem, the all or nothing problem?
Ari's problem. No, more, yeah, but in like in the detail, like he explained it. That l'chayra, we had a Tana. What's the Tana? It says in the first sheet. But you'll remember that we changed our minds, so we could maybe ask you with that. But in the erste sheet, shtait, that... Let's say things, forget about self-referencing. That's called self-plagiarizing. It's not interesting. You're not supposed to do that. Let's just say the things as they are. There's a problem. What's the problem? What's the problem? If not, then there's next one. What's the baya that we have? The baya that we have is that we recognize... We, everyone that comes to my sheet and that listens to my anyone, recognize something like this. We recognize that there's a difference between our Torah and a thought. Stimmt? Everyone here recognizes that. There's a lot of levels of our Torahs and a lot of levels of thoughts. But we recognize this, this chilek. And our whole Vesmedrash is based on the chilek, right? We're il na machshava. We're not divrei Torah la machshava. The whole thing is based on the chilek between ian, which means ian. What does it mean in this context? The word ian means
analyzing.
Shmuley, does ian mean analyzing?
I don't think so.
Okay, so what does it mean?
I think ian means I'm trying to find a better word than deep or. Immersive, or I should say, real thinking.
Okay, I don't like the word analyzing. Let's say contemplation. Okay, because analysis is one very specific form of contemplation, which is taught in BMG or Brisk or wherever, and it's not all of it or even half of it. So let's find a broader word like contemplation or thinking, like you said.
What's the difference between the two?
So let's see if we can see. I'm just giving words now. Let's see if it helps me. If not, then it's not. Point is that there's a difference between divrei Torah and contemplation, okay, and thought. Now, what is the difference, and what needs to be done in order to achieve this level called contemplation or true thought? Versus the level called divrei Torah, right? That's the question. Until here, everyone is masking. Yeah, that's the question. You should take notes with all my things. That's the question. So, So we're going to try to go backwards and forwards, right? Well, let's try to both figure out what we're assume needs to be done for something to be considered contemplation or real learning or real thought versus something else. And maybe we'll also know what it is, this real learning, right? These are two different questions, the how and the what. So I will give... let's talk about two different things, okay? Two different things. I'll take notes for myself since nobody's keeping track for me. So let's talk about two different things. I'm going to get a whiteboard. What should I put the whiteboard? Huh? I'm going to get... That's about that. We could use that. Just have to figure out how to project to it. Stimmt? You see that board behind you? Two big ones? I could use it. No, not that. That's tiny. No, I'm going to use an electronic one. Yeah. Just need to be able to figure out how to use it. Or buy like one of those big projector things.
Projector,
Yeah, a screen in the projector, you have to find it. Okay, point is, there's a question of what is this contemplation that we're looking for and how to do it, okay? So, we today started our discussion with a certain how. And we made that how the condition for achievement of this contemplation, right? Now, this how was, at least as far as I heard, mostly a question of time. Right? It's, of course, not really a matter of time, but of course, everything takes time in life. So we said, since Arbis Medrash is contemplation of thoughts and not repetition of thoughts or Kul Divrei Torah, it's got to be yeshiva. And what does it mean that it's got to be yeshiva? It means that it needs a lot more time than currently available for him. Maybe not for me, whatever, but for him. Stimmt? Is that what you said?
Consecutive time.
Okay. So it needs consecutive time. Time. Need a lot more consecutive time. Mask him? Okay, so we're masking. Very good. Now, but basically time. Long, uninterrupted time, wherever he is. Now, let's see. Is this true? Is it true that we need a lot of consecutive... Consecutive is a weird word. What's the word I'm looking for?
Uninterrupted.
Ritzufis.
Yeah? Ritzufis. How to say it in English? Sustained. Something like that.
Yeah. Durating.
Sustained.
Or duration.
Yeah, okay. Is that true? I mean, is it true for this purpose, right? Of course, I don't think we need to prove that in order if you want to know a lot of things, for example, right? If you want to know a lot of things, you're going to need a lot of time just because everyone will come to their speed of, of processing information or receiving information. People have different speeds of that, but whatever your speed is, nobody does it instantly or without time, so it needs time. So if you want to learn the whole Shas, you need a certain amount of time. Which amount? Whatever, figure it out. But some amount of time, right? That we agree on, right? But that's not our point, right? Why is it not our point? Why is that not relevant to our problem?
Because we're not looking to complete.
Right, we're not looking to download encyclopedias into our head. That's not what we're about. Very important. Right? So therefore, it might be necessary to download an encyclopedia into your head, by the way. Right?
It's just not the goal.
It's not the point, but it might be a necessary condition in some sense. True? Why? Everyone just agrees to whatever I say here.
Why might it not be true?
Why? Even though we're not looking to just have encyclopedias in our head, we might need to have encyclopedias in our head.
It makes sense that a condition to thinking good thoughts is to have of good things to think about, okay?
No, that doesn't sound like a good reason. Mm-hmm. Things to think about, there's an infinite amount of things to think about.
Right, but that's true.
And they're very accessible.
Yeah, I don't mean that, like, it's a matter of brute information, like any kind works, but there's a prerequisite, right? You can't think with an empty brain. You have to think about something.
Okay, but we're talking about like human adults that already have all the training that normal human adults have. Besides for the university people, not normal human adults. I mean like normal ones. You know enough, I think that you should have enough data, right? Of course, what you're saying is that we need to start off with some data to think about, right? Said, we're pretty sure that we have enough of that. Don't we? And what are thoughts about the trees and the birds and all kind of things of basic daily life? It's not about necessarily about some esoteric data, right? Is it?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. So my proposal that although everyone agrees that we are here to get information, but maybe we need information. Right? As some kind of necessary prerequisite.
To what? Meaning?
Why? If the answer is Shmuley's answer for data, I don't think that's incorrect. So we're going back to the idea that we don't really need any more information that we already have. Stimmt? We need information? We're missing any information? Tell me why we need missing information. I mean, if our goal would be to know, there's many people whose goal is to know a lot of information, right? The Bikiyas people of all sorts, right? And just to be clear, like one sort of person, since you want me to hack on people, one sort of person who is basically just a weird kind of Bikiyas person is?
Robot.
Yeah, obviously not a person, but yeah. Also, who else are just basically Bikiyas people?
Chassidim.
No.
No,
the smart people that we know. Right, all the people that read, all the people that read Mark Shapiro's books, and love them. Those are just Bikiyas people of a weird sort, right? Instead of knowing the whole Shas of Abraham Kanievsky, you know a bunch of random facts about Rabbi Weinberg in Germany.
Oh, the history guys.
Yeah, which is all the Ofikleta people in Lakewood. Right, they're just Bikiyas people. At the end of the day, in other words, they're here for amassing information. They think. They very much like information, and they think that, you know, the yeshiva, they don't teach you all information, so we're going to get more information, right?
Yeah.
And since we said that we're not here just to get information, one of the things we're not for, maybe we don't really agree on that. Maybe we don't really agree with that. But if we assume that, then that's not what we're looking for. So we're not missing any information, number one, because we're all human adults, and basically have all the necessary data to be a philosopher, right? Remember the difference between a philosopher and a math professor, right? And a hard science person.
Between a math professor and a hard science? What do you mean by hard science?
So there's three kinds of people in the university. One are the chemists and biologists and physicists and things like that. Those people are very expensive. Why are they very expensive?
Because their knowledge is proprietary or somewhat?
Well, because they need this large hadron collider to do any work, and it costs $10 billion, right? Or you need a lab. Stuff like that, right? So they need a lot of tools, right? Because they're just about going out in the world and finding out more facts. And sometimes that's expensive, because not all the facts are... Not everyone's Abraham Kanievsky who's grasshoppers come to their table. You got to go to the grasshopper. And that's costs plane tickets and stuff, right? Then there's mathematicians. Mathematicians don't need to go anywhere to do their work. What do they need?
You just need a pencil.
Oh, so they need a pencil and a pen and a wastebasket to throw out all their equations that didn't work out. Now, philosophers, they only need a pencil, they don't even need a wastebasket. That's an anti-philosophy joke, by the way. All right, that's where, like Yana said, the sheer can't be ugefrekt, it only got longer. Yeah, Philippe. Point is that in order to think, there are no prerequisites, right? This is why philosophy is the only truly egalitarian chachma. Right? It's only human. That's why it's called the humanities. You only got to be human for it. At least for the basic data that we need. Maybe there's some esoteric parts that you need to find out how many moons Jupiter has to do, but for the more relevant parts, you don't need to know anything, right? Make sense?
Don't need to know anything you said, or don't exactly. Need to have
anything. Have any information.
That's why
that kind of knowing.
We
have enough data. We may need to start with data, theoretically. You're not starting from some empty mind flying in the cosmos, but you're starting with being alive as a human being and having all the normal experiences that normally human beings, you're an adult already, right? You're not even just like a child trying to figure out how balls bounce and stuff. You already sort of know that. And then, therefore, you have basically all the information you need, kind of need to know. You need to work
so
with.
So a child can't in any way?
More kind of, let's make it more simple. I don't know. Maybe not. Right? Even in reference, since we're not just, we're not even sure, but assuming. I assume that we're trying to be a Beis Medrash, which is to think about Jewish stuff. In other words, the data that we think about is not only, I'm not really sure about this, but let's assume that the data that we think about is also all kinds of things that exist only within the tradition called the Torah or something like that. Are we missing data for doing that? Probably not. At least not in order to begin, right? Because remember, the philosophers are the kinds of people that want to know simple stuff, right? We didn't come here to find out the difference between Rav Chisdei Kraskas' seventh argument under Aristotle's Pshat that Rambam brought and the Ran's 14th argument that goes against it, right? That's not why we were born. Would be very cool, but in order to care about that, you have to build it up all the way till that. And anyways, we're not there, right? We're here to find out the most basic stuff, which nobody knows. But the data for that we have, right? In other words, like basic. At least all of us, like I assume that we're human adults and have the kind of data that human adults, normal human adults have. I also assume that we're, in the sense of the people here, normal Jewish human adults who have sort of the Jewish education. You all went to Sunday school, right? You know what Shabbos is and Tefillin and... Right? That is mitzvahs, that mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs lois asay, all kind of things like that everyone knows. So we don't really need to be taught those things. Of course, we don't know the whole shas, but pseder. That's not the point right now. So we don't need that kind of information either. We already have it. So it doesn't look like we're missing information for my purposes. Unlike what I said earlier. Unless one of you disagrees.
So it's not necessary to have an encyclopedia in your head.
No. Unlike what we tried to say, it's not. Doesn't look like. It's both not the goal and not necessary. Both not necessary because whatever encyclopedia is relevant, we already have in our head. It's true that you need data to start with, but we already have that data. Let's assume. At least enough to start with, okay? We're not on level 25,000 anyway, so we don't have to worry about that. But for the level that we're trying to start at, we already have all the data we need. So if the argument that we need a lot of uninterrupted time in order to, you know, to study, to read a lot of books and to know a lot of stuff, that argument is not correct. Because we don't need the consecutive time for finding our information, right? Okay, of course not. Very good. It wasn't so simple. I just spent 10 minutes to figure out if it's correct. But let's say, in other words, most, if we would have a yeshiva, right? Remember, we started off this discussion by saying that we're trying to do something. We're not really yet sure what that something is. We seem to know a little bit more of how it should be done than what it is. And one of the how, that, which is a normal procedure. I mean, we start from what we know. And the hows, one of the hows that we know, according to Ari Weingarten, is that it takes more time than we actually are giving for it or have. Now we're trying to figure out why we need more time. And we thought maybe we need more time. And this is true for yeshivas, right? In other words, the reason why about tshuva, like your example, has to go to Esha Torah, is mostly for the information, right? Let's start. There's other reasons maybe also, but mostly, and it's true, if you want to like become a medium-level, knowledgeable Jewish adult, it takes a long time because the Jews have had always a lot of pens and printers and stuff, and they've written all kinds of too many words. And therefore, in order to become like reasonably knowledgeable, you have to read a lot. Really a lot. That would be a good reason for doing a lot of reading, which takes a lot of time. Interrupted, uninterrupted, whatever. It takes a lot of time. But we're not worried about that problem right now, since we assume that for our purpose we already have that information. It could be that we don't. It could be that we'll find out after thinking a little that we really don't have any basic information. But let's assume that we're starting off, we know enough. Okay. So why might we need time?
contemplate.
Very good, to think. How much time do we need to think? To think seriously, right? To think unlike the unserious way, which is just whatever. To think seriously, how much time?
Depending on what the information that you're thinking about is. In other words, you're saying a shiur, right? And I need to remember that shiur, right? Not remember it and that information, understand it well, and like it should be quite within me, whatever, right? I should grasp at all of the things you said. Yeah, that needs time, that needs like chavrusashaf to, you know, to talk about it, to again,
all right, like, okay, so what should my next question be?
How many different kinds of ways do you have to learn about the same thing?
Trying to figure out how much time we need.
Though. I think, like, for example, the way the yeshivas are set up with the Shina and Chavrusa Shaf is a good thing. I think in some, there's a benefit to learning from, and there's a benefit of learning with.
100%. So we need a chavrisa. Okay, wait, that's a different question. We start talking about not having enough time. Now we're talking about needing a chavrisa besides for a shir. That's a very important point.
No, because the chavrisa is just a part of contemplating.
Yeah, but
wait, it's a practical thing. We're starting with practice, right? Okay, very good. I'm asking.
But chavrusas and yeshiva, they're all trying. They know the end game already. They're just all trying to get there somehow, and just by finding it out, they know they're going to end up getting there.
There's exceptions.
Right?
There's exceptions.
It's different.
So I'm talking about the real way of learning, not the how so many yidden learn. Like the point.
We got into the discussion of chavrisa. Right now we just started talking about a very specific limited problem. That there's a shir every Wednesday night in Yitzchak Lowy's house. It lasts for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half if people are in the mood. Not really more than that. If you add all the schmoozing before and after, you can get to 2 hours. A good day. Okay. And that shir is based on this like demand for serious thought. I like the word serious thought. And turns out that shir, by the virtue of what it is or by how much time it is, can't actually accomplish its goals. Seems like a very pertinent argument because I'm wasting my time. Right? Since the goal is to get serious thought, and 2 hours a week is not enough for serious thought, according to a psak halacha brought here by Rabbi Vadi Yosef. I don't know. Like, who said this psak? I don't know. We're trying to figure out like where this came from.
I'm
for me. Yeah, Bia Omeri went through all the books, and that's what, 2 hours a week is not enough. I don't know. Anyways, there seems to be such a psak hanging in the ear over here. And so therefore we should, I don't know, we got a problem, right? That's the basic argument here, right?
I think that it shouldn't be settled for.
Nobody's worried about settling. We're worrying about doing enough. I'll settle.
Yeah, I don't know if that should be taken as like sufficiency. It's.
I'm trying to figure out how.
Just explained it. It's not about time, really, because time you need for data.
Okay, well,
this
takes.
Is not data.
No, but thought,
that's what I was trying to figure out. But thinking also takes time. Even not knowing things, like, I don't know, like adding pages of the books, just thinking about things maybe takes even more time, right? It takes time to think, right?
You should have had an hour to ponder. The case and 6 hours from
right. It takes time to ponder stuff or whatever. Okay, so it takes time, but now we're getting to a very specific thing, right? If it would be a question of data, then we would have an easier time answering the question, how much time is necessary at minimum, right? For example, if you could take a course in college, they tell you this course can take you 5 hours a week, and they know this because they sort of estimated from the people that did it before, and from how much pages you have to read and whatever. And you know, if you don't have 5 hours a week, you probably, either you could do it twice as long, maybe you'll do only 2.5 hours every week, and it'll take you 20 weeks instead of 10 weeks. Or maybe it's not possible because you need to have that uninterrupted time, so you won't be able to do it, okay? So we're trying to figure out that. But since we don't have such a simple way of measuring it, because we're aiming for something sort of much less measurable at least, or that at first seems much less measurable, then we have to figure out this question. It seems to be very important. And it's not only important like to show if my class is getting anywhere, it's also important for me and the people here to figure out what to do with that time, right? Or how to do it. Right? So was the... So listen, I have a proposition. I'm not questioning now. I really need to find out the question. Like, what's the question? How much time do you think it takes? 2 hours a week is for sure not enough. How many hours a week?
Sometimes, right away by the shear, I think I could understand. It's not true.
Okay, so... But it's not serious.
No, sometimes it could be.
What do you mean? You say, let's say you're teaching 1 + 1 = 2, yeah? Right? And that's like something that's very like misfitted in my head. 1 + 1 = 2. All it takes is like a sentence, and it's like
okay.
The serious thought and the thought and the shit happens all at once. You know?
So what's brown then?
I have a theory.
What?
I have a theory about how many hours a week it takes.
It depends, but these are very serious shiurim, right? It's not like 2 + 2 = 4 type of shiur, right? It's things that take time. Maybe obviously there's certain talmidim always. Some things take faster, some things take slower, depending on the Talmud's ability to grasp things. Takes a lot of.
Where did this argument come that this 2 hours a week is for sure not enough? Like, what's. Where did that come from?
I think 2 hours a week is enough for homeostasis for me. Again, I'm speaking from a personal
okay, level. That's experience. Yeah, like, based on experience, it's enough not to get worse.
It's enough to... Exactly. Which for me, by the way, is very good because it's... You know what it is? I believe...
Like, compared to learning how to drive,
escalator
let's
theory.
Say, right?
Compared
to learning how to drive.
Usually, yeshiva, the life is a down escalator and you have to be walking up.
It doesn't take
the amount
of time because it's not about downloading information.
No, I'm serious.
It's about doing it.
Now, if I take another slap
right.
During the week,
so this
I find
contemplating,
that
it's not downloading information,
is,
it's about
right.
Doing it.
It makes me feel like
so
I'm making progress
every
in my
time.
Life of thought.
The time is not...
Okay, but I agree that it's...
That?
Wait.
Let's see.
It's just,
average
you need to do
two
it
hours
and
a
do
week,
it.
Other 2 hours a week, I'd be down escalator.
Okay. So, Rav Moshe says, and it's true that it's not a question, not like only a question of time, but I mean, the people that teach you driving, they actually also have amounts, like, you'll tell you, okay, maybe you didn't figure it out yet, so do it another 20 hours or 40 hours or 90 hours, I don't know, in New Jersey, and here they don't ask you for any amount of hours, but
it's a joke.
In more serious countries, they have amounts of hours
that you need to practice. The official theory
that's
is
10,000
hours
because
no,
the
that's
that,
Malcolm Gladwell's theory.
But,
not official
but a guy
fantasy.
That's naturally good at it, it's a joke. Because the guy
I get it, but you understand that at least we could try to answer that question. We could say, you know, think our state thinks that 40, you need 80 hours of practice to start, and that's like a minimum. It's an average, something like that. We could answer the question, although it's not really a question of how many hours you did, but we could sort of answer that question, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and that's what we said. We're starting with practice, right? We're not starting with a what, like a theory. We're starting with a practical question. So, I mean, I think there would. We're just getting from you and from you. Everybody, we're just getting these answers that it's very variable and depends on who and what and so on. And that's obviously true. But then we don't have like how can I make progress here? I need to find out if my sheet can accomplish anything or not. And how, and like just saying that, yeah, everyone is different, and some people are very smart, and some people already have background, some people, okay, those constraints are true. Those are going to just complicate the discussion, but that's not helping me, right? I have a very simple question. Question is dust up pen, paper, what do you need? Make the math here. There's pens in that drawer, there shouldn't be. Question is if two hours a week is, let's make the question simple. Is 2 hours a week enough for anything?
Yes.
Right? That's the question. He says it's enough for not getting worse.
Yeah. I think that's not only that, but it's enough that it's not getting worse in the sense that if I have 2 hours elsewhere, then I have tremendous gain.
Oh, it's a minimum for something. Okay.
I think it's a minimum, yeah. I think it's a minimum not to backslide.
But then Ari's going to say, that's good for you who already started somewhere and just needs to not backslide. What about all of us who are not, who need to start somewhere?
It's that if I put an additional time, I feel like it's progress. It has the benefit of being 2 hours of thought, and it also has the benefit of being the first 2 hours of thought in some weeks, or the second 2 hours of thought in other weeks. Right? It's not, there's nothing in these two. I shouldn't even say that because I do think that there's something about being taught that I need anyway. Meaning, I do think that you're capped if you're not taught. Like, no matter how many... I could probably learn 20 hours a week without a shiid, and I could learn 5 hours a week with one, and I'll feel like that 5 hours a week is better. That's just how I feel.
What would you say to yourself?
Not just how I feel, but I think that I can actually explain why. But.
What would you say to yourself if you were starting out here, though?
I would say that 2 hours a week is a lot of time.
Well, it's also enough, you say?
It's too much.
Probably too much. I think that, like, with things, especially taking on new approaches, I would say that there's actually a maximum amount of time that learning is productive. I think. It's you need the kind of exposure that lets you adapt to an idea and not be overcome or have it impressed on you. Like, the idea is not that you accept certain thoughts here. The idea is that you engage in a certain pattern of thinking. It's very hard. And it takes slow, gradual, like, inputs. Like, yeah, and I'd say that with time, yeah, you for sure benefit from more frequency.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ari is calculating for us exactly how much time we need. You figured it out?
Submission! First, we have to check to see if it was AI written.
Okay, so wait, that's a very specific... That's another... And I have a bunch of things on the side. One, this... Two, there's the question of chavrises. All these things are different questions that can be sort of easily solved.
If you want to do an hour Tuesday nights,
these are things that can practical things that can be solved. But we're talking about time right now, okay? Right now we're talking about time. So afterwards we'll talk about all the like different practices, like you need a chavrisa, you need first the say the leinung, and then you need the shir kluli. All of those things, I'll mask him with. I mean, all these things are other discussions. First, we're talking about the question of time. So, and I actually think that the question of time turns into like the most basic question. Why is it the most basic question? Because that's the problem we're having, right? Because all of these things, when you say, well, you need first say that you need this, you need that, all those things are going to end up saying, but they need time. And since I've got to build buildings and the rest of my free time, I don't have time for that. So we're back to the question of time, right? So we have to solve first that question. Or at least know something about it, figure something out. So, I would propose something like this, okay? I propose, firstly, I very much like what Shmuley says. Firstly, I would propose, let's find out what the maximum amount of time that we can do this. What's the maximum amount of time? Wow, I already finished all pages. What's the maximum amount of time? I think...
At what stage?
Okay, that's true. True discussion, but some kind of maximum.
For our lifestyle, for our working lifestyle.
No, a maximum amount of time for a human being. Let's say you were on a retreat and everything is taken care of. What's the amount, how much time can you think for a day or a week? This at least gives us some boundary of what our aim should be. Don't give me quotes that I get you. Tell me what you think the reality is.
It's true. I think 8 hours is true.
Else to worry
all of the
about.
Day? Yeah.
No, I said most.
Most of the day?
I think 8 hours.
How many hours?
I have
eight
nothing else to worry about.
What do you
nothing
think?
Nothing else to do.
What do you think? How many hours? Let's say we give you a yeshiva bocher, right? Basically.
So I think like this. I think there would be most of the day, there would be contemplation going on here, but not about the same thing. And the second is not about the same thing, that's already a problem. Right? Meaning if I'm trying to find out like what is he saying, and I'm starting to like go off and thinking about the trees and the stars and whatever, because I'm like a natural contemplator, let's say, and I'm on a retreat, so I'm just going to be contemplating about everything. Yeah, but that's not going to help me for this. Right? It's a certain type of midah to be able to like be mitzamtzem yourself to a thought, to contemplating about a certain thing.
And
how many sustainable hours, let's say...
Okay,
me,
so...
I don't think that I can... Like, I had like this... You just try to get 3 hours out of a 3-hour Seder. That's psycho. Like, that's not for people. I just remember hearing that thing, and that's total nonsense. Like, if I could get, like, an hour and 20 is like... Whoa, like a real engagement, like actual engagement with the thought, hour and 20 is like...
Sure, absolutely.
Probably like...
Okay,
like,
so this is so very good.
I got, I think.
Okay,
I think
so right,
like
so...
6 minutes.
So this problem that... Very good, so we're
I'm
getting
I'm joking,
somewhere.
But once...
Oh, good. So we're getting somewhere. Because
really
so you were saying that you would think all day, but then it turned out that you can't think all day. And why can't we think all day? Why would you mind go away, or why...
If I'm on a retreat by myself,
yeah.
I can, but that's the point of a yeshiva.
No, let's say you're in a retreat.
That's the whole thing, that's the whole point.
Oh, but in the yeshiva you could?
You
so wait.
Each other like
in the yeshiva you... Okay, so...
With a chavrusa, you could say there's an hour and 20 without it's 40 minutes.
So in the ideal condition, yeah, very good. In the ideal condition, where there's a chavrusa and everything, how many hours a day could you think? Correctly.
Like engaged in thought?
Yeah, like productive, right? Not just, I mean, everything is productive at some level. We're talking about like the one we're aiming
hours.
At. 3 hours a day?
3 hours, yeah. Max three, yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to guess. I don't know. I really don't.
I wouldn't say it's a guess. This is a proposition. Say 3 hours.
It's a guess. It's a claim.
A guess, yeah. Yeah, but it's a claim, right? I'm not putting it forward as a blind guy. I think like, just based on the, like, thinking about like my days in yeshiva when my Rebbe was smiling at me aggressively.
That sounds creepy.
Yeah, it was. It was. I'd say, yeah, 3 hours.
Okay, so listen. My dear friends, I think that you all people are way optimistic. I don't know why I think this, but that's what I think. And this is just a claim also. I don't have like a way of proving it, showing it to you. Yeah. I think that you're all being very extremely optimistic. I think that I'm gonna like heighten the criteria, like to make high demands in order to say this, but I think that like very good, successful thinkers and people that have been doing this for a long time and a good day means they don't have anything else to do that day. Not that they have time, they don't have anything else to do that day. Just a different thing from having time. And I think that you can manage like 45 minutes of thought a day. On a very
okay,
good
how
day.
Much, okay, but how
you
much
said 3 hours with a
how much surrounding infrastructure do you need
oh.
for that? Meaning, how much time do you have to spend sitting in front of the book?
Oh, wait,
yeah,
okay. Okay, wait, I don't know. But just
to
say...
I think a chavrusa or a model, a yeshiva model, could help you not wander off in your thoughts.
I don't know, I don't see yeshiva.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah, wait, all these things might be useful.
Your idea is to have this as a yeshiva.
Wait, you don't bring me my ideas. We're here today, we're not 3 years ago, okay? Three years ago, it's dead.
Oh, you don't want that, okay? Fine.
No, you're saying my idea. Let's try to think.
90% of yeshiva is a shir and a chavrusa. The other 10% is the other people that float around.
Okay, so listen. Why am I getting at... What do I want from all of this? You're right that there's ways to help. I'm not saying that you don't need support and things like that. What I'm thinking is that since there's a very extreme limit to this, this is actually why you shouldn't go to yeshiva. This is a claim that I have in my head. I don't know if it's a good claim, but it's a claim that I have in my head. In other words... I'm trying to build up this claim now. So if it would be the case that you can learn for 10 hours a day, like your mashgiach in yeshiva ketana told you, and you could do it when you're 14, because why not? You got nothing else to do, right? Then, you know, yeah, 100%. We should all go stop whatever we're doing now and go to yeshiva. I mean, it's much more, okay? Nebuch, you can't. It's a big problem. Since I think that this is not actually reasonable, not humanly possible, or maybe possible for someone that trains for years and years and you can get into 2 hours a day instead of 1 hour, according to my... But really, it's not. Therefore, I claim there's some jumps in this thought, but I think that maybe that absolves us from this need.
Okay, but I think there's something that has to be figured out, though, which is when I had that great, let's say, great 3 hours, right, which actually consisted of an hour and 20 minutes. Why? Because there's some level of warm-up, there's some level of familiarity that you have to have with, let's say, even the language of the book you're reading, right, or trying to study, right, a certain level of recollection of its contents. It's true, you don't need data, but you need an acclimation. And that period, I think, takes probably for every half hour of serious thought, you need like 15 to 20 minutes of acclimation. It's my theory. Like, until you reach like the pure fruition of like the activity of thinking, that's not something that like you just sit down and all of a sudden burst into, you know, pure thought. That's something that takes, I think, a certain lead up, no?
Yeah, I guess that that's how it usually works. But are we so sure that that lead up needs to be done in front of a gemura?
Probably not. I'd say, yeah, definitely not. That's true.
How about I'm fixing cars most of the day, but it's all a build up to me learning 1 hour on Shabbos? And since we need build up, obviously, and build up both because we need some like downtime and both because we need some sort of positive build up, but we can do it that way.
It's true. I think you still need like interspersed like moments of focus for that, but I don't think that's not possible in like a routine. Like, if you go the entire week and you never think about anything until Shabbos hits, you know, it'll be a spike, but I don't think it'll be a
car. But that's not really what happens, right? Because what happens is the other way around, right? Even for you.
Meaning that what? That you.
Meaning that, like, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's master, right? Was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter gesagt? That Ayid came, they told you this master in yeshiva, that Ayid came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and asked him that he only has half hour a day to learn, he wants to know what to learn. Should he learn halacha or musar? Because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was all about learning musar. And this guy's implied claim was that musar is this kind of luxury advanced thing that you do when you have yeshiva all day, so you can do a half hour musar seder. But I'm a balabas and I need to know halacha and stuff like that, right? So what's Rabbi Yisrael gesagt?
You'll find out
Yeah. You'll find out you have time for the other things too. That's just said in the form of a joke. But I think that what he's, if you really care about this, what he's saying is that my musar is not a closing kind of thought, it's an opening kind of thought. Right? If you would be, again, if it would be the kind of information or halacha, if you have to know a certain list of halachas and takes a certain amount of time to, you know, to repeat them enough until you remember it, then you're going to need a certain amount of time, and that amount of time goes against, it's in a zero sum game conflict against the things that you're doing, spending the rest of your time. But since what I think Musar is at least some version of thought, right? And which means that I'm going to tell you, and you must say that it's not to finish the whole Mesil Zisharim or whatever, it's to like sort of start thinking about what you're doing with your life and where it's going and what is the point of it and how is it better, should be better organized and things like that, then it's not a contradiction with the other demands on your time. It's there to help you manage the rest of your time better. Or, that's not a good language. It's there to help you know what you're doing the rest of the time. And you, if you learn most, you'll know if you, I'm not saying you'll have more time magically, you'll know if you need more time, you'll do it. You'll figure it out. Right? And I claim that since, so let's see if I could say my whole claim. Since there's a very extreme limit, I think that the limit is a lot lower than we usually imagine, over doing thought. And since we're not looking for information, which has more serious demands on time than thought. Although thought is much more serious than information. Information has more zero-sum kind of demands on time, right? Because information, if you're learning reading this, you're not reading that. But if you're thinking, it's not entirely true that you're thinking this and not thinking that, and it's also not entirely true that the rest of your day you're not thinking that, when you have serious thoughts. It's also true of trivial thoughts in some way, but it's for sure true about serious thoughts. And therefore, and since like we had this argument that, you know, it's true, maybe it's true that you need, that you can only think for a certain amount of time, but you need all the build-up. But they argue that that build-up, a lot of it is needed because of the limits of thought, because of the limited possibility we have, and because of the up and down that you need to do to get to it. And it's not clear to me that that up and down that needs to be done by pretending to think, which is what most people do. Right? It can might as well be done by doing everything else. And since the kind of thought that we're here for is something that is supposed to spread out to everything else or to be relevant to everything else in some way, then it might be the case that 2 hours a week is more too much. There's a lot of places to poke holes in it.
Yeah, but it's not a science we're looking for.
I'm trying to convince you of things. One more thing that I think about that is also what you said, that it's besides for there being a limit on how many hours you could think a day because of whatever powers it needs and, I don't know, nutrition and emotional and all kind of limitations that people have. There's also a limit to, especially for doing real thought, right? There's also a limit to how fast you can do it in terms of intervals, right? Just like physical training, right? Just like memory training that people know about already, right? You can't actually compress a month of training into doing it 30 times in one day, right? Because the time between the training is also part of the training, right? In some sense, right? You need to have time not to do it, and then whatever your body reacts or whatever exactly happens, and then you do it again tomorrow. The consistency is more important than the duration. That's what most trainers in most areas of human achievement will tell you. Nachon? There's some things that can be achieved, but like some marathons, but most of the time that's not how it works.
Even those marathons were achieved by...
by training a lot, yeah. I'm saying maybe you can like get something by doing a marathon once in a while or whatever, but... and therefore, maybe 2 hours a week is more than enough, because we only need to make, we can only make a certain amount of progress a week, not only in an hour or in a day. We can only make a certain amount of progress in a week or in a month of life. And the amount of like points of thought that we can get in a class or a meeting for an hour maybe is enough for being processed the whole week. Or maybe not. Maybe we need 3 hours. But it doesn't strike me as like an obvious claim that we need 10 hours. You understand? Maybe 2 hours is not enough. Maybe 1 hour. Maybe you need 6 hours a week. Those are things that seem to be doable, right? Instead of coming here from 8 to 9, you'll come from 8 to 12. Okay? You could figure it out somehow. Assuming that would be the case. But no, I don't think that more than that, or maybe you're already doing too much. I don't know. Macht sense? Not masking. You already gave up on thinking for today, I see. And then you claim that it's not enough. What's going on? To loop back to the basic original, and you'll listen to me now for a second, and then we'll see if you want to think about it. To loop back to my original thought, or the original claim that you were making. And this has very much to do with the change, or the what we really learned from trying to do that, or at least what I learned. I think that not only me. Is that in a certain sense, the original plan, or the original dream, was not really close enough to thinking. Because remember what you said. That the taina was that in yeshiva they know how to analyze, and then we're getting back to the word analyze. They know how to analyze the difference between the Rashba and the Ritva, so that at least they claim to. And they teach you how to do that and try to find these reasons why this the Rashba has this shit and the Rambam has that shit and so on. But nobody does this for more and seemingly more important sugyas, like how many gods there are. Right? Now, it turns out that that analogy is not a good analogy. At least not in the way it was made then. Why not? Because number one, it's secondary thinking, right? Secondary meaning, thinking about what someone else thought. Instead of thinking about God, we're going to think about what the Rambam thought about God. And I still believe in that very much, but let's try just to clarify what's going on, right? Which is what they do in yeshiva. In yeshiva, they don't teach you to think in any sense. because everything they do, they learn in yeshiva, and by design, are things that people have already thought. We're just trying to think what they thought, right? No yeshiva. You could learn this way if you want, but in the yeshiva they don't train to say, "Ah, shnayim achim betalas." What do you think should the lacha be? That would be real thought, even though maybe law in its entirety is only some subset of human thought. But that would be a real thought. But what they teach you to do is figure out exactly what the Mishnah said, and then what the Gemara said, and so on, right? So they're only doing second-hand thought, and for that, this thing called analysis is very useful. At least in the sense of breaking down what is really said and where did every shit to get their points from, or maybe even what like reasoning and things like that. But it's all taking out of somewhat what someone already said or what was already thought. Right? Makes sense? And there isn't even, just to be clear, at least in the Brisk yeshivas, which are in American yeshivas, there isn't even the goal, there isn't even a shifa, how do you say shifa in English?
Aspiration.
Yeah, there isn't even an aspiration to identify with the thoughts that you're being taught, right? They're not only having secondhand smoke, right? Secondhand thoughts, because they're only thinking thoughts they already say in the Mishnah or whatever. They're not even trying to actually be taught by the Mishnah, right?
Right, the goal isn't for you to
because
really
being properly taught, even though you start off with an assumption of faith, right? The mission knows better than me, and I want to be taught. But the end goal of that, right? The aspiration that elite that in that is to be the Mishnah, right? That what really understanding means, like it says Ilya Datavisa, right? To be, if I would have now after, of course, I couldn't start that off that way, maybe because I'm not that smart. So I need to be taught how to think. But now that I've been taught by the Mishnah how to think, if you ask me what Shnei Mechzim B'Tal should be the Halacha, I also know. This is a big problem, Halacha, because everything is a Machlokes. So what would you say? Like this shit or like that shit? Okay. But you understand the point, right? So they're not even being taught by the Mishnah, right? And therefore applying that kind of analysis, which is very good. It's true that most people are not even doing that, right? But applying that kind of analogy to and so-called machshava or theology, it would be a nice thing to do. Maybe there are some people doing it. For the most part, people don't do it, but there might be some people doing it. It might be what we've been aiming to do at some point. Is a, what should I say? It's useless. It's useful, but not very interesting, actually, and not very useful. Make sense? It would end up
to study an opinion.
It would end up being Bekiyas Bi'in. How about what I'm saying? Instead of just reading some encyclopedia and knowing the opinions of every Jewish thinker since the times of this until the times of that, which I never thought would be enough, although it would tell a lot more than what they're doing in Yeshiva, and therefore very enlightening to all kinds of people in all kinds of ways. We would try to understand the whys in some sense. Okay. But that would still be a why of a of some that, of why someone thought that, some thought. And this basically mean be academic, right? An academic exercise. And not something more than that. In other words, not the true thought that we're talking about now. Right? By
you
some
mean, you mean like contemplating everything.
Everything.
No, I'm saying
the
like
things.
Things, right?
Yeah, the things. Right? Because this is, right? Now,
I'm going to use an unpleasant word for this class, but I'm going to use it in hopefully a way. It lacks spirit in the sense that it's not. This is one of the only times I'd use the word spiritual. But
it's not a Vayetz Hashem.
Right.
Sure. It's not a Vayetz Hashem.
But I mean spiritual also as descriptive, meaning you're not trying to be imbued with the spirit of the idea. You're trying to.
Right, because you're not trying. You're not trying exactly. You're not. You're still standing outside. You're not trying to touch or to access the truths that these people did try to access or claim to represent or to serve you by their ideas or thoughts that they're giving you, but just to know why they thought that or how they thought that and things like that. And if you listen to that whole shiur, there was, I'm not saying that I, whatever, but there's something missing in that whole thing because of this. Right? Now that, now to go back to finish to where we are now, we're not hit that, this year I already said, turns out that the people that I was criticizing them, in some sense, are closer to this, because at least they believe the things that they teach. And of course, like I said, they don't really, they're not really taught, because they still have to say the morale says. And if you're still saying the morale says, that you're not, you didn't learn anything, but in some sense, it's closer. But in any case, I'm confusing about this. But to get back to our discussion, that would take a long time.
We're looking for the morale says, should you say it too, question mark.
Yeah, and if you're a student of his, or if, do we know how to be students, and at least, right, in any case, that would definitely take a lot of time. Because it's something, I mean, mostly because it's also information, but maybe it's even analyzing the information and, you know, building something out of it, but which takes even longer, right? Because learning Bein takes longer than learning Bekiyas, although, like I just said, all Ian is really Ian Shalabakiyas. It's not Ian Lishma, right? And that would actually take a very long time, and you probably do, it's true. For that, I might agree with your claim that 2 hours a week is, I don't agree that it's useless, because I just think that it would just be, because I have a different answer, like I was saying before, I'm not sure what your, I mean, I see your response to that, but I don't know, we can get back to that soon if you want, because it will just take a longer time. Instead of having a yeshiva in 2 hours a day, you have it 2 hours a week. And therefore, what takes 2 weeks in yeshiva will take 2 months by you. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is that you forget in between, so there's, for that there are solutions, pretty easy solutions that might be, even be useful. But, and that's a true point in any case, but besides for that, since we're not really aiming to do that, since we realize that that's not really our goal, that would be a nice goal if you have a lot of extra time, and you're yeshiva b'chta, you want to learn this instead of that, no problem, go for it. But since that's not our idea, it turns out that we need less time. And it turns out that in the deep sense, now, again, this is a claim. If you think I'm wrong, tell me. Or if it turns out to be wrong, I'll tell you myself, maybe you'll figure out. But it turns out that, like Rabbi Sosalanta was saying in that claim, of course, practically, you run into problems practically, what we can think about why. But it turns out that this kind of dedication to thought, which again we're called the humanistic kind, right? That speaks to you as a human and that you want to do as a human, not as someone who has read a bunch of books, known as an academic, specific kind of animal. Now, not that kind. Turns out that that is more accessible to Balabatim than the other kinds of Torah. Because, you know, in Lakewood they have this program called, what's it called? Shifty. Which is for the Balabatim, that doesn't pass for them to learn Blad Gemara, so they learn a Sugya B'Ian, which is, of course, extremely fake Ian, because, whatever. If you've ever been by the chair, you know why. Or if you read their booklets. And the person that writes it does some Ian, but then it's like some kind of weird. Why is it weird? Because it's, I don't know why. Why am I criticizing this now? My point is, it's a Bekiyas of the Ian, or Ian of the Bekiyas, and you end up with Nishtahir and Nishtahin, right? Not that it's worse than the famous, maybe it's the same, I don't know. But we're not thinking about that, right? What we're in that program, they actually finish a bunch of stuff, right? If you participate in the program every month now, you know all of the Bechsa Torah or something, whatever they've been learning. You don't go to it, okay. But, and it takes a lot longer than doing a yeshiva, because they do it every once a week or Sunday or whatever, but it's still finishes somewhere. Versus in my class, since we're only trying to know things that we can immediately access just by thinking, we don't make any progress. We never finish the chapter that we started. And we don't need to. But we do make progress in the real sense, which is by reading one line a week. But of course, reading a line a week is very hard because you forget the line before. But since we're trying to become a certain kind of people, or trying to have a certain kind of looks as people, then it's not a problem. Make sense what I'm saying? And there's actually like some evidence for this. There's people, like the people that I'm sort of inspired by these days, sort of believe this. Again, I don't know to what extent and to what how practical it is, but there's these, whatever, I'm not sure to get onto all these discussions, but there's this whole idea of of the intellectual life of there's a book, The Intellectual Life of the Working Class, or something like that. There was a Marxist idea originally, but whatever. In any case, there's this idea that it's Dafka, the humanities in this way, which are accessible to people that don't have time to be academics, which is most people, versus the other kinds of learning, which are not accessible and maybe are not needed for most people in any case. That's the basic claim. And now I'm already making claims in China.
It's very encouraging.
This doesn't mean, now I'm going to discourage you, the husband discourage, encourage. This doesn't mean that you don't need to be dedicated, but it's a, how would we call it, some kind of vertical dedication, not an horizontal dedication, right? In other words, I think, for example, if it's the idea is to have a shir every week, then you can't see it, and this is Mr. I don't know, you can't see it as something that is going to happen every week, but since it's only an hour, half hour a week, let's say, it seems, turns out not to be so important, so I might as well miss it 3 times out of 4 weeks, which is what happens to many people because of this thought. But since I'm telling you it's 2 hours for the whole week, so this actually turns out to be the most important shiur that you have all week, or the most important thing that you do. Because all the other things you could miss for 2 days out of a week, and nothing happens, because you'll miss those 2 hours, but you'll not miss more. But since we're talking about the human being which lives the whole week, and this is his thought for the whole week, then you're going to lose a whole week by not coming in those 2 hours. A whole week of progress. So it becomes even more important to take it crazily seriously.
So why is it important for me to be the Mishnah, or for me to become the Rambam, or for me to become Aristotle, etc.?
How's the Mishnah become the Mishnah, Aristotle, the Rambam? Why would you use a funny thing?
They asked that question.
They're dead.
Specifically.
I know.
Okay, great. So there's no point, right? There's no point? So step one.
Well, depends
is
what you
actually,
mean by that, Alec.
Okay.
Of course.
Well?
Depends what you mean by that, but yeah.
I'm specifically asking this question.
I don't tell me exactly what you mean by it, and I'll be able to talk about it.
Okay. So you have this anuche that. Oh, when I'm going to learn Rashi, I'm only analyzing things. I should start the Mishnah Shnayim Melechim Talis and say, hey, what do you think? And my question to you is, why start the Mishnah at all? Just contemplate.
I already told you the answer to that question so many times. You keep on, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to do this because it's going to take me an hour to work through this with you, and I don't have an hour now. But just for the slogan, the answer is that you keep on... Think about it yourself. No, I just can't. Don't have time now. Being taught, that's why I make this difference between being taught by someone and analyzing what that person said. Being taught by Rasha and by the Mishnah, by anyone smarter than you, which means basically everyone, because it says, is what you should be doing.
Become them. Right?
I don't know what the word becoming them means over here. Being taught by them is a better word. I know I said it before, but it meant something. Being taught, if you want to be taught by people...
Their thoughts.
No, not thinking... So we're getting stuck on the words here, so let's not say those words. Being taught by them, which means thinking the same thoughts that they thought, not their thoughts. You understand?
Yeah.
Very big difference.
Through me, yes, I guess.
No, being through them in the sense that you need to be taught by someone, since you are not the smartest person to have been born since Udam Rishon. And therefore you want to be taught by people smarter than you, and also everyone is smarter than you. Not as in analyzing their saying, but as in being taught by them. That's the difference. So that's the maskuna. The maskuna is that this is the only shiur that's good from Balabatim. And it's like not a shiur-in, or it's not a shiur-in in the way that we thought it would be in the beginning. It's a shiur-in stam, not in birambam. In min harambam, but not in birambam. Right? And just to be clear, of course, you still need to learn it all day. Don't get anywhere. Nachzi.